And welcome to another exciting episode of the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. Tonight, we are hosted by the two more attractive of the three hosts of the Black Tower Podcast. I am one of your hosts, your Amenkan Mahail, Daniel.
And I am another one of your hosts, your Bajan Mahail, Andrew. And our Sauravan Mahail, Josh, is currently training his taint for the Taste of Taint Challenge next weekend as we're recording this. So, yeah, he's not feeling too great. So,
which is what I meant by the less attractive, because not normally. Josh is just fine, but I doubt today he's very attractive. Seeing as how he's training his sphincter. And that just never looks good.
I got to get the size 6 sphincter down to a size 3.5 at least.
So, indeed.
Before we get into this episode, we got some plugs for you. Make sure you go and check out blacktowerpod.com. Plug it right into your ear holes and eye holes and mouth holes and whatever other orifice you so dare to plug such taint into. Sorry for the quick interruption, but just wanted to take a second to make sure you knew about blacktowerpod.com. It is our very own website with very handy links for you to access all of your favorite Black Tower podcast stuff. Whoa, a break-in during a break-in for a plug? Yes, Patreon. It's a fantastic place for you to support your favorite content creators. For as little as a dollar a month, you can throw some support our way and help us continue what we're doing here at the Black Tower podcast. That dollar a month will get you into our live recordings. We will also shout you out during an episode, and you get access to record a spoiler warning for our episodes that we will use. There are some other perks, like our Sword and Dragon Challenge coins that you can only get by being a Patreon member. And there are perks as far as getting some different random merchandise from us and things like that. Go on over to our Patreon and check it out. And we thank you again. Now, what was the other plug I was doing? Do you want to post in the forums on the website? There's a button for that. Do you want to join our Discord and talk to us there? There's a button for that where you can just click and join the Discord right there. One click and done. Do you want to check out our merch? There are buttons for those. If you want to see what we've been doing recently, there's a section called Dragonsworn On Demand, a calendar for the Black Tower. We thank you so much for checking it out. And now let's get into the episode. Once you finish with blacktowerpod.com, go over and check out our official sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Sorry to cut in again, but we got to take a second and thank our channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and check out all of the amazing rocks and minerals and the tools for rock hounding if you want to do it on your own that you can find there. If you want to do subscription boxes, Crystal Barista also offers monthly subscription boxes that are delivered directly to your door and hand-packed by Crystal Barista with the assistance of our own Sauravan Mahail, Josh. Also, make sure you check out Crystal Barista's Facebook page at facebook.com/rockpick. That's pick as in pickaxe with a K at the end for all of the amazing deals that the Crystal Barista does do from time to time. It's also the same place where if you're in the local area, you can see posts and updates about coming events. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and then check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockpick. And when you're done getting everything you could possibly desire from crystalbarista.com, make sure that you let the Crystal Barista know the Black Tower podcast sent you. Now, back into the episode. We put it out on Twitter for the entire Twitter time and Twitterverse to suggest hot sauces for our annual Taste the Taint Challenge this year.
And guys, it was up yesterday, even though, and it's a good thing that we put it on Twitter because Facebook and Instagram were both down. So, you know, you wouldn't have been able to do anything with it if it hadn't been on Twitter. But we're smart. We are wicked smart. And
DNS
so we put it on Twitter.
Stopped working for a major internet corporation. hours after whistleblower. I'm not saying conspiracy. I'm just saying it looks highly suspect. But it may
very
not be.
Sus.
Who knows? I don't really know, and I don't really care because I don't pay that much attention to Facebook.
Same. I did think it was a funny occurrence, though.
Yeah.
So
if it's not something deliberately done, it's quite the hilarious coincidence. So with that out there, you guys gave us some fantastic ideas. And what we did before we put it up to voting for Patreon is we included only hot sauces, which means we had to add some that we found. And we didn't just add like little wimpy ones. There's some of the, most of the hottest ones we added ourselves. But we wanted to make sure that when we allowed Patreons to choose, that we could put how hot the sauces are in Scoville heat units. So Patrons had since last, I don't know, Thursday, had about like 5 or 6 days to vote on the hot sauces. We got a good spread of voting. We know, well, we don't know exactly who, but we know about how many of you actually love us and how many of you don't really, you know, want us to survive, but you know,
yep.
It is.
The answer is all of you.
Yeah. But with two of the choices we put up, we've had to make a decision to remove them. One, because it is, there's no flavor to it. It's meant as more of an additive for beer and other adult beverages to give some kick to them. It literally has no flavor. And from the reading and research I did on it, it claims 1 million Scoville units, but everybody says it's nowhere near that heat. So we're yanking that one. And
again, it's also, I mean, one of the reasons that we're doing this, guys, is just because it's not really in the nature of the thing, because again, we're doing this to have fun and eat hot stuff, because at least me personally doesn't necessarily do that on a regular basis. And so it's something different, it's something fun, it's something, you know, out of the norm for at least one member of the Black Tower, and probably all three. Like, I doubt that, you know, even Andrew and Josh like do this with any regularity, even though they are both way more versed in hot sauce than I am. But
I feel like Josh eats a lot more hot sauce than either of us.
Yeah,
I like hot stuff, but
yeah.
But like for the past like couple months, I think the hottest thing I've had is like sriracha, because I put sriracha in the ramen I make. So
yeah, but it's also intended to be an enjoyable experience. And I'm not saying that as like, again, we don't want things to be very hot so that we don't have to like, you know, hurt the next day or whatever. Like, again, that's fun. That's part of it. It's all good. But like just guzzling down a tasteless hot sauce just so that our sphincters hurt the next day is not fun. Like, that's just horrifying. So we, you know, we pulled that because, again, it just isn't in the spirit of the thing. And then we also ended up pulling another one because it is actually described as specifically not a hot sauce.
Yeah,
it says it on the bottle. The
second hottest one.
It is specifically not a hot sauce, and that it is a food additive. And again, similar, like, we are going to be putting these on food. It's not like we're not. Like, again, we're not going to just be pouring it down our throats. But at the same time, that basically means that it is a cooking tool, not something that you're supposed to eat even just as a seasoning on things. So that was the Satan's Butthole one.
Yeah, the Satan's Blood chili pepper extract. It literally says on the warning label things like, this is a food additive. This is not a hot sauce. Of like, avoid contact with skin and eyes.
Yes.
Which eyes is pretty standard. Avoid contact with skin. Yes. That's a little bit new. I'm still ordering it because I really want the fucking bottle, because the bottle looks dope as shit and it does it like
it blood. Does. It actually
looks. So really it will be here when all the other hot sauces are, which should be for the Gathering Madness. So if one of you that's attending in person wants to try to pull the where I'm hot shit card, by all means, at your own risk, we in no way endorse or condone this. However, I will not stop you, because by being here, you're an adult.
I mean,
you have to be an adult to be here.
Yes.
Even though we never like expressly said that you need to be 18 plus to be here. I think it's just kind of implied.
Yeah. You could, when I was 10, 12, I don't remember which one it was. My parents gave all of their children, when they turned either 10 or 12, and I can't remember what it was, the official license to be stupid, which was them telling you that you were now old enough to make your own decisions on certain stuff. And if you wanted to go out skateboarding when you should have been mowing the lawn and break your board and fall off and shatter your elbow, you had every right to do that. They then would take you to the hospital. And yeah, that was my part of my license to be stupid. But again, when you actually become an adult, that's when you really get your license to be stupid, and you can do anything you want, regardless of the advice of anyone around you. Like this one, where we're telling you not to eat Satan's blood just by itself. But you do you, we'll be here. And we'll have it. So there you go.
Yeah. So with that, there's going to be a little bit of compensation on your part, because it's not the patron's fault or anybody else's fault that we included that in the voting. That's entirely on us. I didn't really do a ton of research on all the hot sauces, or not enough to see at least that part of it, or even I saw it and chose to ignore it. I don't know. Any of the above. So the hot sauces that we will be doing for the Taste Tank Challenge, in order of least hot to hot, will be the Endorphin Rush at 33.3 Scoville units, Da Bomb at 135 Scoville units. What is this one at? Smack My Ass and Call Me Sally at 250,000 Scoville units. Then we have the Mule Sauce, which is anywhere between 300 and 500 Scoville units. That's the best I could find, and or the best estimate I could find. And then Blair's Mega Death Sauce at 550 Scoville units will be number five. And then we have a surprise sixth hot sauce of unknown Scoville units, not because we haven't looked at it, not because we're not going to tell you, but because nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
And that will become apparent when we do it. So
yes.
Indeed. Yeah.
And again, guys, we do want this to be fun, and so we are hurting ourselves with a hot sauce that's serious. There is one on here that is over 500,000 Scoville units.
Yeah.
So we are going to die for you, because we promised, and we've done it before, and we'll do it again. That is the whole point, or part of the whole point. But again, we do love ourselves a little bit, just enough to not do the tasteless million Scoville units that will just make us hate life. So thank you very much for your participation, patrons, in helping decide that. And we do appreciate and recognize that this is on us for including those couple of hot sauces that were actually just a bad idea. We definitely should have done a little bit more research and given you the justification for not including them in the voting from the get-go. But we do hope that you understand and that you like us enough to let us off the hook with intelligent justifications for these two particular sauces.
And who knows, since it's a cooking tool, since it's a food additive, the Satan's blood may find its way into something we cook over the weekend.
It's very true.
For ourselves. Yeah. Who knows?
We'll see. Be doing a special bonus Taste the Taint in something else.
Yeah. But so that's it. By the time you are listening to this, if you're not one of our patrons listening live, the Gathering Madness will be going in full swing in a couple hours from the time this releases.
Because
our episode's released at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fridays, and the Gathering Madness will start at 5 p.m. on the 15th. So yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, that's later today, keep your eyes on our Discord. If you've already RSVP'd to attend, keep your eyes on your email. We will be sending the Zoom invite link to the emails of everybody that RSVP'd. If you're in our Discord, we will be putting it in our Discord as well. So that way, as many people as want can take and join and enjoy live. We will not be posting it on Twitter, because when you post Zoom invites on Twitter, all kinds of crazy 13-year-old talking about their buttholes trying to join. So
yeah,
that. So we're not going to do that. And anybody that puts it on Twitter will be kicked out for the weekend at least.
Mm-hmm.
if we know who you are.
Just immediately make a new Zoom link and use that one instead, because fuck that shit.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys like pop in and you're doing crazy shit talking about your buttholes, that's fine. Because
yeah, that's fine.
You're all of age. As long as you're 18 and older, like, you're fine.
I mean, we may not engage with you because you're talking about your butthole. And depending on how graphic it is, we'll probably just ignore it. But go nuts. Do whatever you want. It's fine. You're all adults.
No butthole. Go nuts.
Ah. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get ready for this episode. This is going to be a background breakdown episode. But before we can even tell you who this background breakdown is about, we have to prepare your taint for the spoilage.
Indeed.
And we have a new spoiler warning from one of our patrons and also another content creator. This comes from Adelorna over at North Harbor Podcast. And I've already heard it, but let's see how Daniel here, what do you think about it? Too bad Josh isn't here to react.
This is your official spoiler warning. This episode contains spoilers for all 14 books and the prequel. If you are still listening and you haven't read all these, you want to be spoiled, don't you? You crave it. Getting spoiled without putting in the work? Well, get ready. Here it comes.
I need to turn down my AC. It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, wow. Jesus. All right, then.
Saucy.
Woo. Oh boy,
saucy.
No, that's next week.
You're like, yeah. Well, we just finished talking about sauces, so
I know, right?
And we're getting tainty, which is also known by you young whippersnappers as getting lost in the sauce, as they say.
The sauce, spouse.
God damn it, Matt! All right. I almost choked on my drink. I need to clean my screen.
Yep.
Oh man. Indeed. Does she have an OnlyFans? I don't know.
She's here in the chat.
How does the White Tower react to Aes Sedai that have OnlyFans?
They like just check whether they're green, and if they're green, they're fine. If they are not, then they get reprimanded.
Well, so the white Aja is the logic Aja, right? Or is that the gray? The gray is like kind of like diplomacy, like treaties and shit.
The gray is, yeah, the diplomacy Aja, basically.
Yeah, so if the white Aja has a good logical reason to have OnlyFans, like funding research and stuff, then that's fine. If the gray Aja has OnlyFans because it's like a term of like, you know, an agreement or a treaty or something like that, or it helps
bring peace to nations. Or if it helps a treaty get signed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hey, we'll give you 15% off on our OnlyFans if you sign this peace treaty.
The Blues, if it's part of their mission.
Yeah, the Reds.
And the some Reds. Of them, if they have a mission to start an OnlyFans, that would just be perfect.
It's true. The Reds, if it's like a dominatrix style OnlyFans, might work.
Or if it's used to trap men who can channel.
So like the ultimate form of catfishing. Chandler, Jesus. Men who can channel get 30% off our OnlyFans.
Yellows to help treat people with sex addiction.
And depression.
Wow, okay, yeah. So every Aja in the Black Tower just has an... Oh, and the Black Aja to attract Dark Friends.
To spread
their the taints. Taint. Yeah, exactly.
Spread the taint by literally spreading your taint.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, and Brown Aja to study... for the purpose of studying OnlyFans, they definitely have one.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely...
It's not very active.
Figured out.
Yeah, it's not very active. It's more to just have one to figure it out rather than to like actually use it as an OnlyFans. But there are a couple of Brown sisters who are like, yeah, sure. But anyway.
Instead of charging money, they charge like books.
There we go.
yeah. books, scrolls, knowledge.
You will give us one scroll, and we will give you one titty.
And yes, definitely the sexy librarians.
Yes, all right. Indeed.
So who are we talking? Who's this background breakdown on there, Daniel?
So this one's actually a little bit of an interesting one, because up until this point, our background breakdowns have all been on basically characters that don't get enough love. Characters that we think are actually integral to the last battle, or, you know, getting someone to the last battle or doing something special, and giving them the extra love that they deserve, because people often overlook them in, like, you know, their favorite characters or the, you know, most meaningful ones or whatever. This one is actually a little more out of left field. Because it's not that. We definitely want to do background breakdowns on characters that just we don't feel like we know enough about, and we want to talk a little bit more about and get, you know, different opinions and different, you know, headcanons and things like that on. And this is one of those characters.
It's only about 2,590-ish characters.
Yeah.
Outside of the core that, you know, we can do background breakdowns on. So,
right. And so this one's going to be fun. I'm excited about it, even though this guy is a total wanker. This guy is, that we're doing the background.
You're fucking wank stain.
Is High Lord Wyramon Santiago, who, as Santiago. All of, no,
like Santiago from Aladdin. There's no T in this one.
There is, which no is
what
tea.
Makes it that different from the real world. No T.
Right.
And the first name where I'm on.
It is Wyramon Santiago. And this guy's a total rooster. he's so dumb. But, like, he is actually a big part of the story. Not necessarily a big part. He is a surprisingly present part of the story. He shows up again, like, is it book five?
We first see him. Yeah, book five.
Book three.
No, we first see him. He's first mentioned, he first shows up in Fires of Heaven, chapter 41.
Yeah, so he shows up like pretty early in the series, like within the first third of the series in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And he is there until very close to the end, if you will.
You last see him and I am really bad. Oh, that's a O, not a G. I saw T-O-M as T-G-M, and I was like, you don't see him at the Gathering Madness. That's not even a point. Yeah. But it should be.
Towers.
You last see him in, Towers of Midnight, chapter 13. He's last mentioned in A Memory of Light, chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I find funny about Wereman is that, do you know anything about, like, rearing chickens, like roosters and hens?
Yeah.
So, like, he's described as having some kind of air about him, like a strutting rooster. Like, he's always like trying to strut his stuff. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's a big old cock. You know, just trying to show how amazing and fertile he is, I suppose. but the funny part is, like, if you know a lot about rearing chickens, most of the time, and rearing as in raising, not like standing behind them. Yeah. But a lot of the times, a lot of the posturing is just that. It's posturing. It's show. Like, whenever you actually advance on the chicken, most of the time they'll run away. There's plenty that will just try to fuck you up. But
sure,
in general, like, once they see, like, oh, you're way fucking bigger than me and you're still coming at me, they'll turn and run.
Yep.
And it's also funny because, like, whenever you see a chicken that's, like, balding or, like, losing its feathers, it's generally not because of, like, of old age. It's either a disease or the fact that other chickens are plucking its feathers out, which, given that Wereman is a Tyrian High Lord, makes it, like, even funnier.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, so let's start from the very beginning.
He reminds Matt's dagger of his brother, just so punchable.
Yeah, extremely punchable. So when we meet him, there is a little bit of a description, which we already mentioned, sort of rooster-like, but he's got a couple of other qualities that are mentioned. He is thin. He has a gray streaked hair and an oiled pointy beard, very much in the line of other Terran High Lords. Whether he was the actual originator of that design or whether he just does it to be cool, who knows? He is not short. Apparently not tall, but not short. There is something of a strutting rooster about him, and he is balding like a bitch.
Every time now when people mention balding, all I can think is the SpongeBob movie with Poseidon when he pulls off the bag because he's lost his crown. And they're all just like, bald, bald, bald. Like this very gleaming, shiny bald head. There's nothing wrong with being bald.
There isn't. As long as you own it, don't pretend you're not bald.
But you know who can help you with balding? This episode's sponsor, Keeps, who is not actually our sponsor.
No.
But if you want to be, not. And we'll say more.
Indeed.
But yeah. So yeah, Wearmon is part of the group of Tyrian High Lords that after Rand and the Aiel kind of separately but jointly, unintentionally jointly, conquered the Stone of Tyr, that we see trying to kind of manipulate things. But I think isn't Wearmon one of the ones that like leaves the Stone of Tyr to help form the like rebel faction? Is that him or does he stay?
No, he's actually with Rand.
Well, that's right, because like, he stays in service to Rand. In service.
Yeah, right? And he, like, fucking follows Rand around like a loud, annoying puppy.
Oh, he's trying to suckle on that noble teat. Because he hates the peasantry.
Time. Yeah, and he just, like, walks around and he's like, shall I charge at them, Lord Dragon? Shall I charge at them, Lord
Dragon? Oh, that's right. It's the fucking Charginator. That's right, yeah.
And you're like, and Rand is like almost always standing there being like, no, that's a terrible strategy. Don't fucking do that ever. And he's just like, but I will break their ranks. And Rand's like, you're an idiot. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's right. He's known for only wanting to charge.
Yes.
But he's also known for his, because that's all he knows how to do.
Yes.
His poor military tactics.
Yes.
Because he does get placed, this is later on after kind of what we're talking about, so like we can jump around on the guy. Why not?
Get up and so, get down. Jump around. Yeah,
so he is sent away from the Battle of Carrion to the plains of Merido. And then he's placed in charge of the very large force that Rand has actually worked to gather and assemble for the attack on Ilion.
Yep.
And Wearmon single-handedly almost ruins the entire battle plan by attacking first off with the cavalry and leaving all of the infantry behind, which made up the vast majority of the forces.
Yep.
So, very, very, very sus. I'm sussing Wearmon. To quote a game that I've never fucking played.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, like, since in that case, Rand definitely didn't fucking need that army, and it was actually just a clever ruse, it really kind of didn't matter, because he was just like, fucking get all your horses killed. I don't give a shit. Like, you're not even actually the army. Like, I'm the army. Me and like four other people are the army. You are the distraction.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there's actually like really only one person that ever has like a good or high opinion of Wearmon, and it's
Wearmon. And that's Wearmon. Yeah,
yeah, Wearmon. That's probably the right way to say it.
Weirdamon.
Somebody made the joke in the live chat earlier, but it definitely does seem like a Digimon name. Like I think they put like Wearmon or Wargreymon. In the chat. Mm-hmm.
No, it was Kokatorimon. Because it's the chicken.
That was the first one. There was another one. If you go further up, it is Wargreymon. Thank you, Snakes and Fuzzies.
Is it?
Yeah. Further up, it's Wargreymon.
Oh, yep.
Oh, God. The nostalgia for Digimon.
Oh,
I remember
those. What a great show.
Those Digivolves. Like, those are all, like, I don't know what. Digivolves Like, Digievolutions were always so epic.
They were so dumb, though, like, if we're being honest.
I mean, yeah.
Like some epic, of them were really were cool. Some of them were absolutely really cool. Like, honestly, War Greymon, for example. Super fucking cool. Metal Greymon, also pretty cool. The ones that, like, ended up being, like, 90% metal and kind of looked like just refrigerators with guns, like, those were dumb.
Do you remember whenever they had, like, because they always made, like, higher evolutions. I remember there was, it wasn't the original series with Tai, but it was the next series where they found, like, the golden eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, the gold or mega evolution or whatever, something like that. But I remember, like, their, I can't remember if it was that version or that era arc or whatever of Digimon, or if it was the original one. But there was one where they had, like, this ultimate evolution that made them all kind of, like, more humanoid. And I just remember thinking that was super epic. I think that is the second rendition.
It absolutely is, because Patamon, for example, was like one of the first like really humanoid ones.
Yeah, there was two. There was
Patamon, yeah, there was Angemon,
and then there was the kitty,
and then the
can't remember.
And Patamon was Angemon, and then the kitty was like the girl Angemon.
Yeah, they're like two sides of the same coin, which is funny because, like, I think the kitty started off as, like, evil and was won over to their side, because that
right, because it's an anime.
But it was so cool. Like, one of the things, like, about Pokemon is once a Pokemon evolves, like, it's just there, like, it can never go back. But with Digimon, you can still go back to, like, the really cute little mini T-Rex.
Yeah,
and then just when you need to, he can be
full-blown T-Rex. Agumon.
Agumon always had, like, the most derpy voice, though.
He really,
like,
did.
All of his digi evolutions had, like, dope, like, really, like, deep, bassy, like, commanding voices. But,
well, that was kind of true really about derpy. All of them. Not all of them, but Gabumon also had that. Gabumon's voice was pretty dumb, and then he turns into Garurumon, and again, it's that, like,
is that the ladybug one?
Garurumon. No, it was the little, like, bear thing with the skin over it and the horn.
Oh, like the seal.
Yeah, no.
Like the weird seal walrus kind of looking thing.
No, it was the Agumon was the dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And then there was Gabumon, who was the, it looked kind of like a, like, tiger.
Guys, we're giving up Wheel of Time. We're doing a Digimon podcast. Yeah, no, Gabumon, I know who you're talking about. Like, it was like this weird cross between, like, a narwhal tiger, but he turned, but, like, his first evolution was into, like, this big ass wolf that was really dope.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's Garurumon.
Well, this is the one I was thinking of whenever I said seal, because I don't know why I think of him kind of like a seal.
Yeah, Gabumon.
It has no resemblance to a seal.
Oh, hey, and somebody put all of the fucking illusions, the volutions of Agumon, and, like, three of them or four of them are really fucking stupid.
Yeah. I think when you first meet him, he's not already Agumon when you first meet him. He's Koromon.
He's Koromon, yeah.
But I don't remember ever seeing Bodomon.
Bodomon is actually, it's sort of a later thing. It wasn't in season one. Bodomon was, like, the very first thing. Almost all of them, I want to say, were, like, sorry, I may be wrong, so if I'm wrong about this, correct me, whoever, you know, knows more about this than I do. There was, like, once a digi egg hatched, like, all of them were just Bodomon, or, like, maybe one other thing. They, like, all start out as, like, the same fucking thing. And then they turn into the next one up, which for Agumon is Koromon. Mm-hmm. And everybody had, like, a different one for that. But as I said, like, I think Bodomon and maybe, like, one other one that was, like, basically Bodomon but white was, like, mm-hmm. what every Digi-Egg turned into. And then you just find out what it actually is, like, later on.
It's just a mystery.
Basically.
Anyway, Wyrmon.
Yes,
Wyrmon. Not a Digimon. Wyrmon Santiago.
Santiago.
Sans Iago. Very good, Iago.
Ah, yes. Marry the shrew.
Oh, man. So after all of the fuck-ups in...
Yes,
Adora. And Wireman's life.
The world is Wireman San Iago?
I'm glad I'm not the fucking only one. It's a much better joke than the one I made before we started recording. Like, where's a man in San Diego?
No, I like it.
Yeah. It's very, like, catered to your geographical potential bias.
That is also true. Yeah. Also, fuck San Diego. Nobody likes it.
Yeah. So when Kyrian was attacked by the Shido, he was there. He was sent to Kyrian as reinforcements, which just shows you how desperate they were for reinforcements.
Yep.
Like, just point him a direction and say charge until somebody tries to stop you, and then fight them unless it's us.
Yes.
And then even then, I'm sure he would manage to fuck that up.
Oh, always.
And because of, you know, because he is who he is, he would actually want to fuck that up.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't know, Wireman is a dark friend.
Yes, he is. Though, again, it's one of those interesting ones. Okay, so this is one of the reasons that I actually like this character. And I'm putting that in quotes because like is a strong word. I don't actually like the character, but I think he's a good, well-put-together character. And that is this, that we've talked on this show a number of times about the intense stupidity of humanity, and also the intense genius of humanity. And when you write stories like this, there have to be people to make it realistic that are that make bad decisions and make good decisions. And yeah, I mean, like, I totally get that it's a story, and you're probably focusing on a certain amount of the characters that are actually doing smart, good things, and doing their best and everything like that. But there's also, you can't just have that be the only characters. Even if there's not 2,500 characters in the story, you still need at least a couple of fucking idiots who you mention every once in a while as a barometer for humanity and also a barometer for the characters in your story.
But he seems to be dumb, like, regardless. Where there's plenty of dark friends and Forsaken that are, like, seem to go dumb after they betray the light.
Perhaps.
But, like, yeah. Wireman is just always dumb.
Basically. Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really like about the characterization of Wireman, is that he doesn't even seem to be particularly evil. Like, he is a dark friend, but he doesn't even really seem to do that many bad things. Like, his mission is not to kill Rand. His mission is not to, you know, kill off Rand's friends. It's not to, you know, do this, that, or the other. It's kind of just make yourself look like a buffoon so that you can fuck up certain things about plans. And so, again, we already mentioned one where he is sent to Ilion. And a Forsaken is ruling over Ilion. And so he definitely doesn't want to go ahead and actually take over Ilion. And so he thinks, all right, cool. Well, I'm the leader of this army. I'm going to do a tactic that I am known for that is stupid and fuck up the army's plan. And of course, Rand comes in and goes, yeah, I kind of knew you were going to do that. That's why I gave you this post, because you don't actually matter. And then fucks up Samael's day anyway. But, like, again, Wireman doesn't know that. So he's just like, cool, I'm going to be me and go charge into the city and be an idiot. And you're like, yeah, no, that sounds totally like you. And then, of course, you find out that he's a dark friend. And you're like, yep, no, that sounds even more like you. Right. And again, every village needs their idiot, and Wyrmon is absolutely just the like Tyran High Lord idiot who may not be as dumb as he appears, but at the very least, he's a good actor, if not an actual idiot that the Shadow's just using because he's dumb.
Yeah. But so he does go. Again, like we already said, with Ran to Ilion to deal with rebels loyal to Lord Brend, who, again, that's who Samael was posing as.
Correct.
So, again, he's placed under Ran's direct command. And when the Shanshan try to invade Ilion, and Ran has an actual battle plan, and it looks like it'll work, and in typical fashion, where Wyrmon says, charge. Trying to charge a group of the Shanshan, which in turn allows another group of Shanshan through their ranks to hit Ran's position from behind. He then goes on to convince Ran to still advance towards Ebu Dar. He leads several individuals to the final assault against the Shanshan, and Ran ultimately brings him back to, or not ultimately, but after all this, Ran brings him back to Carrion and gives him servants that are loyal to Ran and Dobraine specifically.
Yep.
So he's like, already at this point, Ran is like, for whatever reason, I can't trust this guy to do what I need him to do, what I trust him to do. So I'm going to put people under him that are going to serve me and watch him for me. So it's a really good move.
It is. And again, it's not even necessarily because he suspects him of being extra evil. It just is that he knows he's insubordinate at this point.
Yeah.
He can't be trusted. Wyrmon has now done enough things that go against Rand's orders that, dark friend or not, Rand is just like, he needs to be watched, and I need people who are going to follow my orders under him, regardless of the fact that Wyrmon won't.
Yeah. He disobeys Rand again and goes to Tyr and is in the Stone of Tyr when Rand shows up to talk to King Darlin Cisnera.
Mm-hmm.
And he's again beseeching Ran to again fight the peasantry, to destroy the peasants, you know, to fight the rebels that are trying to lay siege to the Stone of Tyr, which are his own countrymen. So,
but not really, it really, because of course, Wyrmon only considers nobility his countrymen.
Yeah. it just highlights Wyrmon's like complete disregard for like country style allegiances to, you know, your fellow countrymen allegiances. His only allegiance is to the nobility, and whatever he feels is going to grant the nobility the most power, namely himself, is what he's going to want to do regardless of who says it. However, King Darlin of course stops that idea in its tracks, and then Rand sends Wyrmon with the rest of the Tyrian forces or Tarian forces into Ered Domon.
Yep.
He is with King Darlin whenever Ran shows up in Ered Domon and pulls those forces back to Tyr. And then we kind of get the telltale moment where Ran realizes or is able to determine he's a dark friend. After Ran's kind of Bodhisattva moment on Dragonmount, he gains this ability or is able to somehow tell by looking in the eyes of individuals that they're dark friends. Lines up all the Tyrian High Lords and Ladies, or just all the High Lords and Ladies, into a line, and basically looks at Wyrmon, and at the same time in the line, Anayela Narang Salona, and is like, "Your dark friends, be gone." Looks at everybody else and says, "Let that be a warning to you," basically. Yep. His ultimate fate is unknown, but Moradin does tell Ran later that Wyrmon was shocked at Ran's trick of figuring out that he was a dark friend. So
he was shook.
He is
shook. Truly shook.
Shook up from the flow up.
Indeed.
I guess, I don't know. From top down? I don't know.
Either way.
But in the book of events, that is the story of Wyrmon Saniago.
Yep.
It's a story of disobedience, of insolence, of tantamount mutiny, believing that he was not discovered to support the Shadow all the way to the end until he's very bluntly to his face told, I know you support the Shadow. Go away.
Well, and of course, again, this is one of those interesting things where obviously being where I come from and being at my, you know, socioeconomic level and also, you know, just being an empathetic human being. This is one of those motivations that I have such a hard time actually understanding, but know that it's a real motivation for like actual human beings. Like there are rich people out there who only consider other rich people people. And like Asmodian goes ahead and goes over to the Shadow so that he can play music. And you know, Samael goes over to the Shadow, or Robin specifically goes over to the Shadow just because he fucking hates Luz Theron, because he's like, I'm as good as you, but not quite. Fuck you so hard that I'm just gonna go over to the Shadow. And so, like, there are, you know, a number of these motivations that make someone a dark friend, or in those cases, like an actual Forsaken, that really kind of makes sense to a certain degree. And so, like, why are
Wyrmon, I feel like, at least understandable for a
yeah,
lot of
and people. I think, yeah, and I think that Wyrmon's logic is sort of understandable here. Like, he really truly believes that people who are lower than nobility in the, you know, birth scale or whatever you want to call it, aren't people. They are only there to serve nobility. That's their only purpose, and they are less than human, basically. And so when given the opportunity to join the Shadow, he's like, wait, so does that mean that if I join you, I will be nobility and I'll just get peasants to serve me forever and they'll understand that they're not actually good or, you know, as good as me and things like that? And I'm sure whoever recruits him just goes, yeah, no, that's totally what's going to happen. That's exactly what you want is going to happen. And he's like, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to think that at least at some point he falls under the direction of Morden.
Yes.
Because I don't see Morden just speaking with Wyrmon. Because you got to think, like, the Forsaken see everybody else as lesser, as barely, yeah, if even human. With, like, the possible irony, exception of, like, Rand. You know, they might see Rand as, you know, the closest thing to, like, human. And it's only because they see him as a threat that they give him the respect of kind of, you actually mean something.
Yep.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, the Dark One wants him. But yeah, it's very true. Like, Wyrmon definitely encompasses that ideal of, I was born rich, I am rich, I'm of the noble class, and you owe me everything, I owe you nothing, ignoring the fact that without those he considers subhuman, he would have nothing.
You were born a street rat. You will die a street rat. And only your fleas will mourn you.
Yeah. I mean, and there's there's a part of that that you can make the argument for being human nature, that you identify most with people that are in the same kind of status or area as you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, people that think similarly to you or have similar interests to you. That's why, like, you have people that have such diverse groups of friends, because, like, they'll have the group of friends that think the same as they do philosophically, and then this group of friends that think the same as them politically, and then you have the group of friends that play the same games as them. Mm-hmm.
And you just find certain things that you have in common with people, and you latch on to something that you have in common. And even if you have plenty of things that are different, even if there's like wildly different political views, if you are, you know, in agreement on the fucking, you want both want to play Magic, like, great. Or yeah, you already gave a number of good examples that I, yeah, totally agree with.
Yeah. So just Morshadi put it very well. he's a dark friend that represents, or he's a character that represents a character of privilege, mm-hmm. and a character that realistically should want for nothing because they are a member of the royalty of Tyr. However, they still want more. And you said it earlier, you know, if I join the shadow, will I have power forever? Will I, you know, reign over people forever? And it's kind of one of those things that it seems like the High Lords of Tyr kind of have a council-ish form of absolute power. Each individual one can't just do whatever they want, but they as a group rule absolutely. And, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, yeah.
Yep. And of course, I think that's one of the reasons that Wyrmon is the way that he is, because I think his personality definitely lends itself to being judgmental and somewhat cruel and very much privileged. But also, again, look at where he's from, look at what is going on by the time that we meet him. As you said, it is a like-minded, or in this case, not even necessarily like-minded, but like status individuals who are all making decisions that in so many ways are designed to benefit them and not necessarily to screw over the people under them, but they're just not even taken into consideration.
I respect you because your status dictates that I do. And
yeah,
having exactly. you at least think that I like you will lead credence to me, and I can manipulate that for power and gain.
Yep, exactly. And anyone,
you're my friend as long as I can use you.
Yeah, and anyone under us is just a stepping stone to that. And we don't necessarily like screw them over as much as possible in every situation, but we don't ever consider their needs. We only ever consider our own. And if we end up screwing everybody underneath us, that's fine. Because as long as it helps us, that's it. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Wyrmon doesn't really have, I mean, he has a story that spans a fair number of books, mm-hmm. but when you break it down to what he does and kind of who he is, there's really not a lot to Wyrmon. Yeah, I mean, in terms of like talking about, I mean, as we're, you know, nearing an hour of talking about a guy that we're like, oh, right. not that much to talk about. But I mean, that is
to be fair. 20 minutes of that was digital. Yeah.
So. I mean, yeah.
Not actually.
So if nothing else, he creates Digimon conversations.
But, yay!
But yeah,
Wyrmon so, Digivolve 2, complete dickhead.
It's just a constant. That's his base form.
Just yeah.
Constant strutting cock.
Indeed.
So, but yeah. And I think the conversation we just had, I think that also probably encapsulates like our final thoughts on Wyrmon. I really can't think of too much more to say about him. I think he is an interesting character because he just, you know, is who he is. He's a dumbass from start to finish. He stays true to his dumbassery and his motives and stuff. Like Wyrmon at the beginning is still Wyrmon at the end. The character doesn't really change. So, it's interesting for a couple reasons, but do I really like Wyrmon? Not really.
Oh, of course not.
And not because, like, he never really does anything that strikes me as, like, inherently evil. He just constantly does dumb shit.
Well, and that's one of the things that I actually like about Wyrmon, and this will, you know, wrap up my thoughts on him, is I really like his inclusion in the story. And in the end, I do appreciate that he is a dark friend. Because it does explain some of the things that he does, and some of the like dopiness of him. And I do appreciate in some ways that it does throw a little bit of a wrench into the idea that he's just a complete idiot. And you can consider in some ways that maybe he's smarter than you think he is, but he's also evil.
And so it does make him more interesting in terms of the fact that you can let your imagination run wild. Which is, again, why I appreciate that he's in there. But I also appreciate the fact that his resolution isn't. Rand doesn't just murder him and say, you're a dark friend, so die. Rand doesn't just say, he doesn't show up in the last battle fighting for the Shadow. His fate is uncertain because Rand is too good of a person in so many ways by the time that he actually discovers that Wyrmon is a dark friend to just outright murder him. And so he just sends him away, and we get that like glimpse back into the Rand that we appreciated of, you know, like just banishing, you know, the woman who's in Kyrian, who I can't remember her name right now, but who like tries to take over when he's taken to the White Tower by the Reds.
I think her name starts with a D too.
Kolivar. Thank you.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
yeah, so good. But I appreciate that, like, it brings Rand back to a certain equilibrium that he sort of always had but lost. And it really reminds you that Rand is a good person after the sort of shitty things that he does, and really encourages you for the rest of the story that Rand isn't going to just be hard, that he isn't just going to be doing what he needs to do, that he actually does really weigh the cost of people. And so I appreciate, as I said, Wyrmon's inclusion in the books, even though he's a complete fucking useless person.
Yeah. But yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Black Tower Podcast. Now, this is a tad bit shorter than what we usually do, but hopefully you still enjoy it. We enjoy talking about it, even whenever there are characters that are just dumb fucks. So yep. We look forward to seeing those of you in person that are going to be at the Gathering Madness on the day this goes live, and all of you that are going to be joining us online. We're looking forward to it. We're really excited for it. It's going to be a ton of fun. So if this is the first you're hearing about it, rush on over, hop in our Discord. You'll find the links there if you don't already have them from like email or something like that. And just enjoy the madness that gathers. But
indeed.
In the meantime, when you're looking for other stuff to enjoy, other Wheel of Time content, make sure you go and check out thegreatblight.com.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the Shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene, because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
Now, whenever you've had your fill of digital media and you want to get something physical to represent your love of the Wheel of Time, and we're still waiting for, you know, some merch to come out from the TV show, head on over to newcreationsbyjen.com.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com. We're going to go ahead and sign off for now. Unfortunately, we do have some other business that is calling to us. So for those of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, our Sorvan Mihail Josh sends his love and his appreciation for all of you. And I'm sure he can't wait to talk to you again on the next episode and to talk to everybody at the Gathering Madness. But I have been Andrew, your Bajan Mihail.
And I have been Daniel, your Amon Khan Mihail. And again, from all of us here at the Black Tower, thank you for being here. We hope that you are having a lovely, lovely morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Running the show.
Good night.
In the tower, you can bring your pain. In the tower, you can feel the strain.
You've been out. Tower.